Most of the college teams have had inter-squad scrimmages in the last week, now that they're 10 to 14 days into camp. The NFL, though, does theirs a lot more publicly, and they charge full boat to see scrimmages over the weekend. Not many stars have played in week one. Several Boise State players have gotten in, and I must say, looking at some friends of mine on Facebook and Twitter that are Dallas Cowboy fans, not happy with one Kellen Moore.
That's not fun to hear. It's not fun to read. It's not fun to see when people are taking shots at Kellen Moore. But it's crazy because what? It was like a week ago where it was, man, Kellen looked about as good as he's ever looked as a quarterback in the NFL. Just looked calm, comfortable, you know, collected, doing his short passes the way you're supposed to do them. This game was just a lot more of a struggle. I mean, the completion percentage wasn't where you want it to be. The completions that he made were all within, like, I think, was it 7 yards or something like that? There wasn't anything that was down the field. You're seeing tweets about Kellen Moore is hurting the development of every receiver, tight end that he plays with. A tweet from a Roto World tweet basically saying that Kellen Moore is the lower class of backups. Like, there's a lot of bad backups in the league, and Kellen Moore shouldn't even be a backup quarterback. So it really is a drastic change, and to the point of, like, how bad do you have to look for it to go from 1 week of, he's pretty respectable out there, and he's doing a decent job, to he doesn't belong anymore?
One of the, from Roto World, was Stone Worst least talented quarterback.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Like, I mean, what do you... It can't be that bad.
But here's the thing. Isn't it that because so many of the good players, the front line, the A players that you want to see play are not in there? I think a lot of this is that fans, pundits, et cetera, are looking for things to make drastic statements about. So hot takes. Let's pick on whoever's not doing well. And remember the old saying, the backup quarterback is the most popular person on the team. Well, if the backup quarterback is sitting in the starting role, maybe the third guy, i.e. Cooper Rush, is now the most popular player on the team.
He'd play better, I suppose. By the way, I found this Kellen Moore tweet. Let me read this one just because I find it funny. Watching Kellen Moore play quarterback is like taking a bite out of something, expecting ranch dressing, and it turns out to be blue cheese. I mean, just saying, like, everybody is a comic. Everybody's got their jokes. But, yeah, apparently this Cooper Rush third string, he's bigger. I saw the one touchdown pass he threw to Gathers, the man that Moore threw the touchdown to in week one. A tight end, by the way. I don't know if he's going to make the team or not, but, like, I'm trying to find a way to get that guy on the team. That dude's a monster. But, yeah, he floated it up there and, you know, he had the height and a nice arc to it. But, like, I saw Moore do that in the first game of the preseason. So, like, and I'm one of the people who am saying that, like, I don't know if Kellen Moore is a long-term backup. Like, if you need somebody to finish a game, he might be able to do that. If you need somebody to be a valuable resource in the locker room, he might be the best at that. Like, again, the story's about the film. He's weeks ahead. He's helping scout. He's helping Dak Prescott learn all these things. So, like, there's certainly value for him being there. But, like, I said even after he played well last week that if the Cowboys had a situation where they had multiple weeks of needing a backup quarterback, like, it's hard for me to believe that Jerry Jones would stake his season in, even though Jerry Jones keeps saying good things, like his quotes of saying Kellen Moore has that it factor, it keeps coming there, but just knowing Jerry Jones's reputation, it's hard for me to believe that he'll leave a large chunk of this season into Kellen Moore's hands playing quarterback, somebody who's very smart but still physically limited, and you can see it at times when he struggles in the preseason.
You're listening to Idaho Sports Talk. Bob and Chris here until 3. Caves and Prater will take over at 3, and they'll bring you home till 6. Coming up at 1:15 today, we'll delve more into the first week of NFL preseason. Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus, is going to help us break down some of the performances of the Boise State players in week one of the preseason. Ask him about Kellen Moore. Week zero to week one, certainly people would say the first one was a little bit stronger performance. But looking at the way the NFL preseason works, the one thing that I think you can't factor in, unless you are just so knowledgeable and so on top of things, is who you're playing with. Is said quarterback Kellen Moore playing with the ones or the twos or the threes? And who are they going against?
Yeah.
Because maybe Cooper Rush looked good against guys that'll be working as extras on a Hollywood lot for the Rams as opposed to playing for the Rams when the season starts.
Yeah, but like what you can do is kind of rely on people that you trust evaluating talent to kind of at least tell you a story. Like, you know, Mike Lombardi, who's somebody who's been in an NFL front office before. He now works for the Ringer. And like when he tweets something like, if I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm nervous about a backup behind Dak, Kellen Moore ain't it. Well, like, I'm more willing to listen to,
sure.
Like, this is where I have to rely on analysts. And, like, before the show, I was watching some of the Giants highlights from their game against the Steelers, and Dante Dion was on the field for a play that where there was a touchdown allowed. The Steelers scored on a passing touchdown that was on the side of the field that Dante Dion lined up on. But I don't know what the scheme of that defense was, so how am I really supposed to say whether part of the responsibility was Dante Dion or part of it wasn't, and he had nothing to do with the fact that that touchdown was given up. What I can see is when he fumbles a punt, and that's something that we can all get on. And like when Kellen Moore, even if he were to throw an interception, and turnovers weren't exactly the thing in this, it was just being limited in the passing game, we can see the result, an interception, but we don't know what went into an interception. So like that's when you really have to rely on the people who have made these talent evaluations at the professional level.
It sure looked to me, based on the number of plays that he got, that Dante Dion was given a very good chance to play this weekend for the New York Giants. I agree with you. Hard to say. I watched the same play with you, and we're trying to figure out whose responsibility is whose. There were three receivers for the Steelers on his side of the field. You know, was he supposed to be in a zone? Was he supposed to be in man? We'd need somebody like Ashley Ambrose, who played in the NFL, to kind of look and say, no, the Giants were in this, and he should have had that. I have no idea. It looked like he's kind of covering something underneath. The pass goes deep down the field for a Steeler touchdown. Now, as you mentioned about a fumble punt, fumbling punts and fumbling kickoffs are quick ways to get pink slips.
Yeah, but the thing is, would he ever have the responsibility of returning kicks if it were, like, we talked to people who cover the Giants, and it really never came up that Dante Dion was in a mix for as a returner spot. Now, I know he did it here, but, like, I never really noticed that that was something that the Giants were evaluating for him, and then all of a sudden he's back there and then he fumbles it. So if you get the opportunity, I guess it's better to not fumble it than to fumble it. But I don't know whether he makes the team or not will have to do with his ability to return on special teams. I thought it was, like, the reports we hear, his coverage, especially as a slot corner. So how will his coverage as a slot corner compared to what the Giants evaluate him on? A, you know, special teams we heard are important, but I was thinking more of like coverage special teams than I was thinking actually returning the kicks.
So we'll see if that moves forward next year. Maybe the person that was doing the punt returns or the one they, you know, are scheduling to, maybe didn't play.
Yeah.
So they were looking for somebody else. Perhaps maybe the biggest news over the weekend, a late game on Saturday night featured the Chiefs and the 49ers. Chancellor James missing practice today for the 49ers, reported by the Sacramento Bee. They claim that he has an ACL tear. Or a partial ACL tear, and probably not good for him if that's the case.
It's just another one, right? Like, you know, Billy Winn and his ACL tear, and that being something that you just shake your head at and think, like, man, in these first preseason games, like, when you do all this work to get to the spot where you can actually play in live games, and then, you know, whether it's in the game or right after the game in one of the practices that you get hurt, it's just, like, you just can only shake your head and be like, man, how tough of a spot is that? You put in all the work, and once you actually get to a chance where you can prove your work, you are in a position where you can't prove your work.
Preseason games sometimes tell the story, sometimes they don't. My biggest concern coming out of week one has nothing to do with anything on the field.
Real.
My biggest concern out of week one in the preseason is, did San Diego make a mistake moving to L.A.? They only sold 21,000 seats to their game with Seattle, exhibition game number one.
And it sounded like they played it in a soccer stadium, and it kind of sounded like a soccer crowd. I was just tuning into a little bit of that, and you could, like, hear the whistling and odd thing. Like, it didn't feel like a football game. And it actually took me a moment to realize that these weren't the San Diego Chargers anymore. Like, they had the same jerseys. They looked the same. Phillip Rivers is still there. Antonio Gates is still there. They're still connecting on touchdowns. And I'm like, something feels different. Wait, this isn't Qualcomm Stadium. So it took me a half a beat, and then it made sense because the crowd sounded like it was something out of a soccer game. That would be concerning. I think a lot of people are looking at, like, who's standing and who's kneeling for the national anthem, and that's been a thing for the preseason for the second straight year. it's really just hard to – the Chargers look good on their first drive. I'm starting to freak out about fantasy football rankings, and I'm realizing it's preseason, and I probably shouldn't do that. So, like, as soon as we actually want to make a big deal out of something that happens, you do realize that it's preseason football.
Where do you take any kind of stock? Week three, did you put any kind of stock in what you see week three? Because week four is usually – anybody that's playing is not going to be on the team usually. Yeah. I mean, week three, is that the only week you can take any kind of stock? Because, I mean, the colleges have never had preseason games, never had exhibition games. They jump right in. First game is a game that counts.
Yeah, and I feel like if my attitude with this is if you had an opinion going in week three of the preseason, your opinion was confirmed, you absolutely take it. And if your opinion was off base, you just say it was preseason, and it doesn't really matter. So it just depends. Do you see what you want to see, or do you not see what you want to see?
So it's sort of like the Emperor's New Clothes. Yeah. If you believe, you believe, right?
Exactly. That's like Summer League. If your boy balls out in Summer League in the NBA, it's like, yeah, I told you so. If he doesn't, hey, it's just Summer League.